We are learning Maseches Megillah this summer. Some of you maybe even learn Maseches Megillah at night. But certainly, certainly that's our Iyun Limud. I imagine that most, if not all of you, who are learning, maybe some of you learn Kitz Mevarchin. For those learning Maseches Megillah, I imagine it's mostly certainly the Iyun and the latter half of the Masechta, the Kriyas HaTorah, the Beis HaKnesses. And we want to take an opportunity. I want to take an opportunity tonight, and we'll see if we complete this sugya tonight or if it carries us through to later in the week, to take a look at a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Briskerov, who looks at a pair of Gemaras in the first half of the Masechta, one Gemara from the first parak, the very end of the first parak, one Gemara from the second parak. The first two parakim are about Purim and Megillah in particular. And it's such a rich and exceptionally fantastic Brisker Rav. Number one, we're learning Maseches Megillah. I think many of us labor under the misconception that if we met Megillah first as a Pekiyas Masechta, so we might labor under the misconception that, it's a Pekiyas. It can be a Pekiyas Masechta. It is very nice. You can learn the Gemara Rashi and leave it at that. But there's a tremendous amount of depth once you start drilling down under the surface. And the Brisker Rav is going to open our eyes for a fresh re-appreciation, renewed appreciation, a reintroduction to the Masechta that one of the Masechta we sometimes take for granted. And in addition, we're going to see here a beautiful, a really magnificent blend of close and careful reading, of diukim, of lamdas, close reading of Gemaras, close reading of Rishonim, and in addition to the seeing, as we began to see yesterday, how what first appeared to be the most technical and narrow of details open up wide vistas in the Teretz, we're going to see that those wide vistas not only are broad and beautiful in terms of the Lumdus, but may also have very important echoes both in history and in Hashkafa. The Rav, Velva's nephew, Yosha Ber, the Rav, often used to speak about the philosophy of the halacha. That once you learn a halachic sugya in depth, you can then take a step back and ask yourself, switching from looking at the trees to looking at the forest, so what are the moral, ethical, religious principles that flow? What are the hashkafos that flow from these dinim, and from the structure, lamdusha structure that emerges once you understand the dinim more deeply? And that's one of the most authentic ways to try to understand Hashkafas HaTorah, is to see what's the Hashkafa that flows from the Halacha, the philosophy of the Halacha. So hopefully this Brisker Rav, these sugyas, will give us opportunity to see all those other things, a renewed appreciation for Megillah, an appreciation of the Brisker Rav's close reading of Gemara Rishonim, his careful Cheshbon, the fantastic Nafka Minas, the moving from a very narrow start to a very broad place later on, and the blending of halach and lamdis with history and hashkafa. So please help yourself. I'm going to pass these around. That'd be fantastic. Thank you so much. Let's start with a couple of gemaras. Let's start with a pair of gemaras once again. We're blending Torah and Chesed here. Hopefully either you have your own gemara that you're sharing with someone else, or you're sitting next to someone who can share his gemara with you. And again, as promised, caution, we're going to start with what looks like the most technical part of Hilchos Purim. Because, number one, Hilchos Purim, we usually feel like the Freilich part of Hilchos Purim is Chveis, is Suda, Shalach Manas is Freilich, and Aton Sevyonim. Mikra Megillah sounds a little heavier. The dinim are a little heavier, a little more technical. And even within Mikra Megillah, usually we would sort of maybe feel more comfortable in the world of the Maisa as opposed to the Chafza. In many, many areas of Halacha, you have things divide into what's a kosher item and what are you supposed to do with that item. What's a kosher shofar and how do you do tekiah? What's a kosher sukkah? And what does yeshiva basukkah look? What exactly do you do to live in the sukkah? And so on and so forth. So there's the dinim of Mikra Megillah, and then there are what feel like the more technical dinim of the Chafetz of the Megillah, how you write a Megillah. This is really starting to feel very, 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 very tired. Megillah, how you write a Megillah, I'm not a sofer. As I said before, once again, we're going to see, you're going to dive into the details at first, but we're going to come to a very, very broad vistas indeed. Let's take a look at a pair of Gemaras. One is in the end of the first parak. One is in the middle of the second parak. Let's start with the second parak. The bottom of Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Tes Amud Aleph is a very rich, very, very rich Amud. Not for now, but just as we get warmed up. Earlier in Daf Yud Tes, this is not where we're going. Earlier in Daf Yud Tes is a three-way machlokas hatam in the Mishnah, and the Gemara adds a fourth. Altogether, four-way machlokas hatanam. When you lane, where do you start from? We used to, we lane the whole Megillah. But that's only one of four opinions. Four different perspectives in Tanam in terms of where you begin Nikkur Megillah from. From Perek Aleph, Beis, Gimel, or I believe Vav. Are we telling the story of Achashverosh, which begins in Perek Aleph? Story of Mordechai, which begins in Perek Beis? Story of Haman, which begins in Perek Gimel? Or are we focusing on the Nes? Balaylehu Nodah Shnas HaMelech. Which... already, hopefully, as an aspiring Lamdanim, you see that not just as, okay, it's a technical, funny, I don't know, I never even heard of this. Where you start Mikra Megillah from? Okay, Shaitan, four Shitas. No. Hopefully you notice four Shitas in what's the main story of the Megillah that could help shape not only the way you think about Mikra Megillah, but the way you, if you're in Tanakh learning mode, this is a Gemara that could shape. There are four different perspectives on how you look at Megillah Esther. Okay, but we're not going there right now. Far that way for the future. We're going to instead dive into the bottom of your test. The Gemara at the bottom of your test, Amud Aleph. Let's dive into, Rabbi said, roll up our sleeves. Let's dive into the denim of how you make a Megillah fabrication. How you construct a Megillah. Here we are at the bottom of your test, Amud Aleph. A series of memories of Rabbi Chelbo, the name of Rabbi Chama Bar Guria. In the name of Rav, you see there are narrow lines and wide lines and very wide lines. So in the last wide line or medium width line, whatever you want to call it.
Maybe two of them?
Yeah. Five lines from the bottom of your testament out. There's a dot. Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Guria, Amar Rav. That chain of transmission. Rav, Rav Chelbo, quoted Rav Chama Bar Guria, quoted a rarely named Talmud of Rav, the name of Rav, Rav we've heard of many times. He had a steer in the Psukim. The end, if you remember the way the Megillah's Esther, not Masechet's Megillah, the way Megillah's Esther is arranged, almost all of it tells the story of the narrative of the Nes Purim. And then towards the end of the ninth parak, the tenth parak is tiny, the ninth parak is the last large parak. So at the end of the ninth parak, after the denouement, the nes is completed. So then the psukim switch from the story of the nes to the mitzvahs of Purim. That when they were actually misaking the yontif of Purim, different stages, talks about the various mitzvahs, about Megillah and Matalas of Yonim and so on and so forth. And the Megillah there also refers to itself. Vatichtov Esther bas Avichayel is called Tokef. And the Megillah is self-referential, refers to itself. How does the Megillah call itself? Lahavdil. I say, hi, my name is Tom from Cohen, nice to meet you. How does the Megillah call itself? Igaris. Right? A letter. Right? You're familiar with the Minhagim, you've seen the Minhagim of the way the Bal Kore, I don't know if those are Sfari Minhagim as well, but certainly Manan Ashkenazim, Bal Kore folds it in a way that it makes it seem a little more, why is that Igaris-like to fold the Megillah? Because it makes it feel a little more scrolly, casual maybe. Sort of like folding over. Right. So it's a little more casual. Now, that's not the only way, though, that the Megillah self refers. The Megillah self styles in a different way also. And that's where Rav was sensitive to this tension. It's over the course of just three, four psukim at the end of Perek Tes. Megillah, here we are on the first very wide line, the bottom of the Testament of Nikre, Megillah Nikre Sefer, the Nikre is Igares. On the one hand, it calls itself a Sefer. On the other hand, it calls itself an Igares. Igares sounds casual, a letter. But Sefer sounds more formal, a formal document. sefer. We think of a sefer usually as something that's bound. Obviously, that's not what they had. That's not what Mordechai and Esther had in mind, because no one had bound books at the time. They bound them the way a sefer Torah is bound. They just stitched them together linearly. That's what they meant when they said sefer. But a formal document, a formal quote unquote book, scroll, as opposed to some more casual igeres. So Rav was learning Megillas Esther carefully. He said, "Hey, one second. This deer in the psukim. Which one is it? Is Megillah casual? Is Megillah formal?" So Rav said, "Here's the teretz. Is it A or B?" The answer is yes. Yes. Nikre sefer shem tfar b'chute pishlim sula. On the one hand, it's called a sefer, and that implies al pidin that when you stitch, you're not going to write the whole Megillah in a single piece of parchment. Now you're going to find an animal that large, unless you have a very, very tiny hand, right? A font size 0.2. But you obviously need many, many pieces of parchment, many pieces of hide that are stitched together, as in the Sefer Torah. How do you stitch them together? So in the Sefer Torah, you stitch them together with gidin, right? With fibers, sinews, with fibers from the animal. The paper, so to speak, the parchment, is animal-based, and even the stitching is also animal-based. You're not allowed to use, let's say, linen, which is plant-based, to stitch together the ureos, the pieces of parchment that make up a Sefer Torah. How about a Megillah? So Rav said, "Oh, this steer in Psukim tells me how to stitch together a Megillah." How? On the one hand, it's far b'chute pishtim psula. If you stitch the Megillah together entirely with the linen thread, that's no good. Why? Because it's called a Sefer. It's like a Sefer Torah. It needs animal fiber. It needs gidim. On the other hand, Nikre Sigaris, it is more casual. So what does more casual mean? Here in the third last line, She'im hitzel ba gimel chute gidin chera. If you included three animal fibers, that's good enough. In other words, on the one hand, it can't be totally pishtan. On the other hand, unlike a Sefer Torah, that has to be 100% gidin. The Megillah could be a little bit gid, and the rest will be pishtan. So it could be a mix. So it's somewhere in between. It's sort of a sefer and sort of a geres. Half and half. It's treated a little bit like a sefer Torah. Okay. Good. That's the Gemara. Shine. Rav says, a stira and how the Megillah refers itself, two different terms. Is it formal? Is it casual? Is it like a sefer Torah? Or is it just, whatever, just put the words down on paper? The answer is, sort of in between. Since you have both Lashonos, his yishuv of the stira is that it's a chatzi chatzi. In between. Okay, that's a Gemara. Yeah, question. I'm sorry? I'm not sure. I don't think so. Yes, enough to keep it together, certainly. I'm sorry. I there may be minhagim. I'm not familiar. Got to ask David Schecht and so forth. Yeah.
So, is it possible you could, like, is there an amount of animal sinew that if you included in the stitching would make it much like safer and possible the
good. Formula? That's a good question. I don't think that you're required to have linen. I think it's just that you're not required to have sinew. Nikri Sigaris means it doesn't require as much sinew as safer tar. You want to put it in gazuntahit. I don't think it's possible if you put in too much, but it's not obligatory. One could have imagined that to be the case. I don't think that's it. Now let's take a look at another Gemara. And this is a Gemara with which the Brisker Rav opens his piece. Tes Zayin Amud Beis. We're skipping back from the middle of the second parag, the very end of the first parag. You should know, those who have learned, how many of you have learned Masechet Megillah in the past? Okay. Many of you. Most of you. So you no doubt remember that the first parak, Daf Tes Zayin Beis. The first parak has a lot of parts to it. The beginning is Hilchos Megillah. Then the middle is a miscellaneous dinim that fall under the rubric of the various Ein Deins. And then the end of the parak, the last six or seven blot or so, the Gemara gets into a unique type of mode that you find different places in Shas. But as far as I know, this is the longest stretch anywhere in the Talmud Bavli, the Gemara gets into Medrash mode. It goes from, it's around the 6.5 blot. You have a Sota, you have a chunk also, but I think there, even the Sota, it's long, but not quite as long. This is Mamish. The Gemara goes through, by Medrash I mean, the Gemara goes through Al Seder HaPsukim quoting a pasuk and then giving the interpretation Tar Shapeh, then the next pasuk Tar Shapeh, going through al seder apsukim rather than in topical order. The Gemara here goes through from Yud Aleph all the way to Yud Zayin. The Gemara goes through in essentially the entire Megillah. Almost every pasuk has a comment, I believe. So here, at the very end of that Medrash Esther, Tezayin of the Bay, the Gemara is finally up to those psukim at the end of Parak Tef. And here the Gemara comments. Let's see. Where are we? Tezayin. Oh, here we are. And you see where opposite you see the Tosas in are sort of tucked in near the bottom of the Amud. So opposite those Tosas in on the left side, there's a line that ends with the two dots and the word Divrei. Divrei Shalom V'Emes. So that's a way that the Megillah refers to itself in those Pesukim as well. And the Megillah is words of peace and truth. If you're looking for a try over here, Tezayin of Beis. Tezayin of Beis. Okay, that's surprising. Divrei Shalom V'Emes. Words of peace and truth. Tezayin of Beis. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rabbi Yasi. There were one of the Amoram of Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbi Tanchum, a name that's obviously close to my heart, or Rabbi Yasi, a more famous Amora, a more famous Talmud Rabbi Yechanan. So one of them said, "What does it mean? The Megillah says it's words of peace and truth. What does that mean? Words of peace and truth. What it means? Words of peace. But right now he's holding. Usually when someone tells you." I'm telling you the truth, honestly, .. that doesn't usually make you trust a fellow more. Someone is protesting how honest and truthful he is, that usually doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. Well, why does the Megillah have to tell me that it's true? I'm assuming that it's true. I came in with that assumption. This is part of the Tanakh. And if I hadn't, the Megillah telling me that it itself is true isn't going to convince me. What does it mean the Megillah is true? What does that mean? I'm already assuming the Megillah is true. So it must be telling me something else. So one of these two Amaram, Rabbi Tanuch, Rabbi Asi, said, Melame shetzricha sirtut ka'amita shel Torah. Oh, you know what this tells me? Not that the Megillah is true. I know the Megillah is true. It's referring, it's equating the Megillah, it's comparing the Megillah to a different truth. This is like the truth of Torah. In what way is the Megillah like the truth of Torah? Amita shel Torah. So once again, a technical nafkamina in how you construct the Megillah. That when you write a Megillah, I should have brought along an example. Next time you get an Aliyah, how many Balei Kriya do we have here? Okay. How many people here get Aliyah sometimes? Hopefully everybody. Okay. If you have Gabal, we'll work with you. So Balei Kriya have more opportunities to know is this. But either maybe go over on Thursday and take a peek. If you don't get an Aliyah, you're not laying, go over and just take a peek before or after laning. You'll notice that the sofer takes a razor before he begins to write. He takes a razor and scratches lines.
They come pre-made.
Someone has to do it, right? The sofer does it himself, or else someone earlier in the process, someone took a razor and scored lines, just like sometimes you buy paper. This notebook is lined. It comes with printed lines on paper. So on cloth, you score lines, you cut lines, you scratch lines with a knife in advance. That's called sirtut, lisartate. The Torah talks about seret lo nefesh. Lisartate is to etch these lines in the parchment. So the Amoram tell us, Divrei Shalom V'Emes, what does it mean that Megillah is Emes? It's like the Emes of Torah. Just like when you write the Emes of Torah, you have to do Sirtut first, so to write a Megillah, you got to do Sirtut first.
What's the
Halamina? Let's take a look. Let's read the Gemara together. Let's take a look at Rashi. Let's see inside. The first question that might strike you is, that's a very poetic word, term. The truth of Torah. What's the truth of Torah? I write the truth of Torah. What document are we referring to? The truth of Torah. But it's obviously being written down parchment because you're doing sirtut. which document are we talking about? What type of Chefetz Shemitzah? So Rashi says, Sefer Torah. Kamitsha Torah. Well, it's just like when you write Chemish Yechum Shei Torah, you write a Sefer Torah. Rashi says, in the beginning of the second column, Kasefer Torah Atzmo, Sirtu Talachim Oshmi Sinai. He said, just like when you write a Sefer Torah, you got to do the sirtut, prepare the parchment, score it with lines first, and then write. So too, when you write a Megillah, just like a Sefer Torah, same thing here. Oh, okay. Okay. So what do we have, Rabbi said, so far? I told you we're going to start technical, and it's going to take us to broad places. I told you we're going to start with Mamash, the technical Shabbat technical. We're learning the Purim part of Megillah, we're learning Dafka Mikra Megillah, the other mitzvahs, and learning about Daf, not about the Kriya, but about the Chetzah Megillah. And it's not about writing the letters, it's about like how you stitch it and how you prepare the parchment. He says it's not even the sofer does it, someone in the tannery. Okay. But let's dig in a little more. So we have two Gemaras. Right? Two Gemaras. Gemara Daf Tazai and the Gemara Daf Yutas. What was the Gemara Daf Yutas talking about? What topic?
What was the topic?
Extension, right? Sphere beginning. Good. What's the Gemara Daf Tazai talking about? Sphere. Good. Which terms did the Gemara Daf Yutas point to? Sefer and Yigyaros. Which terms did the Gemara Daf Tazayin use?
Shalom.
Amit Shalom. What did the Gemara say based on Daf Yutas based on Sefer and Yigyaros? Is it like a Sefer Torah? Is it not like a Sefer Torah?
Sefer like a Sefer Torah, Yigyaros not like a Sefer Torah.
Right. Sort of like a Sefer Torah. Right? What did we say in Daf Tazayin?
It's like a Sefer
Torah. Totally equivalent to a Sefer Torah.
Don't we
say anything that, how many things bother you about that?
But don't we just say it's equivalent by Sefer? Not by
what? Oh, good. So problem number one is, Is the Megillah fully like a Sefer Torah, or is it only sort of like a Sefer Torah?
No.
By Sirtut, we said, fully like a Sefer Torah. By the Tree of Beginning, we said, it's sort of like a Sefer Torah. So what do you say to that?
No, I'm saying, the Gemara on Tes Zion is not saying the Megillah is exactly like a Sefer Torah. There's a bunch of halachas about writing a Megillah that's more makel than writing a Sefer Torah.
Oh, so Sasnik. Is already onto something. Maybe he's already jumping ahead. Good, let's go step by step. You're on something to come back to your Ha'ara very, very soon. Offhand, you how many kashas does this raise? So number one, is it fully like a Sefer Torah? Or is it only sort of like a Sefer Torah? And anything else, that's in terms of the bottom line, literally, the bottom line. Like what's the name? And in terms of the middle line, what strikes you as curious? Yeah, what's your name?
Zah.
Yeah.
Maybe if we're saying it's like a Sefer Torah, then why do we need to say that it's Sefer Shalom, not necessarily a Sefer
Torah? How many words do you need that mean Sefer Torah? We already have
two. One.
Well, this one means not Sefer Torah. Igeres. Sefer means Sefer Torah. According to Gemara, but then the Gemara Tazayin says Emes means Sefer Torah. So one problem was the bottom line din doesn't seem to add up. And another problem is, why do they have two different terms that both mean Sefer Torah? We could have just said Sefer. And the group said Sefer would have been contrary to Yerah. Somehow MS is like a different term that means the same thing and countered by Yerah. Why do we say MS but Yerah?
It's just trying to teach you a different point about a Sefer Torah.
Yes, but how do we know? But they seem to be contradictory points. Is it fully like a Sefer Torah or is it not fully like a Sefer Torah? Which one is it?
Emes is just teaching that it's like a Sefer Torah by Sirtu.
Yeah, but why does Emes mean Sirtu and Sefer means Gidin?
Because
you're onto something. We're gonna have to build it more.
Can you say that Sirtu is by you can read that into Sefer Negeres because by Negeres you don't have them?
Yeah. So why we say it does not need Sirtu because of Negeres? That's exactly the problem. Yeah.
What is Shalom being used for? If it's just Emes that we're being Goresh Sirtu.
I'm sorry?
What is Divrei Shalom?
Great question. The Gemara does not talk about what Shalom means. Presumably that's less problematic. It requires parshanut. It requires explanation. But it's not a kasha in the way emes it does. What do you mean the Megillah says emes? I'm assuming it's true. But the fact that it's peaceful, sometimes you talk about peaceful things, sometimes you don't. As a matter of fact, Megillah talks, I would imagine, it's worth taking a look at the Mefarshim on that pasuk, but it is striking that we talk about peace because there's a lot of not such peaceful episodes. The Megillah is not mostly peaceful. In any sense, it's mostly peaceful.
Okay, but then you have to find what peace is.
Oh, okay, good. So there are chidushim there as well. But right over here, the Amar are concerned, are focused on the word emes. So those are a pair of kashas. Again, with the two gemaras seem to be using two different terms for sefer Torah, which seems redundant, and treating it two different ways. Is it fully like a sefer Torah, or is it half and half? Yeah.
And the reason why sefer and igaris they're going against each other, igaris doesn't necessarily go against the Rishon Lanos, is because sefer and igaris are both describing what you're writing. They're both describing the actual parchment. They're describing what the actual book is like, whatever you want to call it. So, therefore, they can combat each other. Also, that explains why we're talking about sewing the parchment, another aspect of the physical thing. And Divrei Shel Memes, it's a pretty big, I wouldn't call it Zerah Shalom, but some sort of connection to Torah. It wouldn't necessarily get conflicted to Yeres, which is...
Okay, good. So both of you are onto something. Both of you are onto something. And we're gonna carry it forward. Before we carry it forward, both of you are onto an idea that the Briskrav is going to develop. That's fantastic. But we begin, before we get to Brisker Rav, he really points us, take a look, we're ready to begin to read the Brisker Rav, and then we'll go back to see what else is going on as well. Take a look on the other side of the page. B'Megillah Daf Tezayin. Before you even get started, you know, the way he opens, unlike yesterday's piece, where he opened with Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Zayin, here he does not start with the Rambam, he starts with the Gemara. Which is an interesting feature of the Brisker of Sefer. Most Achronim who wrote on Rambam, including the Brisker of his father, Chaim, every single piece starts with the Rambam. That's why it's a Sefer on the Rambam. The Brisker of did not do that. His whole Sefer is organized using the Rambam's organizational scheme. Most pieces start with the Rambam, but everyone's all just start with the Gemara. Sometimes they'll talk about Rambam later, sometimes not.
Why?
As a matter of fact, Hilchas Ishus, for those who learn Maseches Kiddushin, Hilchas Ishus there's only one piece, the bibliographical quirk, that it doesn't actually, they forgot to print the term Hilchas Ishus, and the only piece only begins with B'Kiddushin Daf Nun. Doesn't start with the Rambam at all. But he still uses, let's take a look inside. The Megillah Daf Tezayin, beginning of the Brisker Rav, Divrei Shalom V'Emes V'Chulu Melamed Shetzricha Sirtut Kamita Shel Torah. It says that this teaches you that you need to do Sirtut. That's the Gemara, the second Gemara, just like Amita Shel Torah. Yud Ayin Vav Shin is Yuyan Sham. Look there carefully in Rashi, which we did. We ready to follow his instructions. Amita Shel Torah Hainu Sefer Torah Atzma. The Sirtut Shelo Holach Moshe Misinat. Ulam. How, and we already, he's not unpacking yet, but we already were sensitive to the fact that that creates a pair of kashas, that there's a disconnect in terms of which terms are the Sefer Torah terms, and there's a disconnect in terms of halach l'maisa, is it fully like a Sefer Torah or partial. He sends you right away to Tosas. Ula metosas menachas daf lamin beis hikshalze. Tosas is not happy with Rashi. Mehade isa lekaman daf, he says, by the way, if you didn't have Brisker Rav, you just had Megillah Daf Tezayin, you would notice a little bullet mark on Rashi that sends you to Rabbi Akiva Eger, who says, look at Tosas. Because Rabbi Akiva Eger's job in Gilui Shas is to tell you where things are quoted in Tosas. Where else in Shas does Tosas quote this Gemara, this Rashi? So Rabbi Akiva Eger tells you, look at Tosas Daf in Menachas, a Tosas which you happen to have in front of you. Tosas raises the question. How the Israel come daf yutes? The first Gemara we saw, Chaim Bar Guri, the name of Rav, Megillah Nikra Sefer Nikra Zigaris, Nikra Sefer and Tvar Bechutei Pishnam Sula. Im Neima the Din Sirtu the Megillah Yalf Mi Sefer Torah. If Daf Tezayin is also equating Megillah to Sefer Torah, Amita Shal Torah, Lama Im Kain Lama Lanu Krad Divrei Shalom V'Emes, the Tepuk Lama the Nikra Sefer. What do I need? Yet another term. I already have my trusty Sefer. That's what it connects Megillah to Sefer Torah. Come on, you'll feel me that in this parasha of Begidin. Like a Sefer Torah. And I'm a nail of me that Zerich has here to a Sefer Torah. Okay? So Tosus is already bothered. You uyen shan bedivrihem. Biskrav gives you a neat summary of the Tosus. Take a look there. What's Tosus' solution? Such a kasha, it must be. This is not about Sefer Torah at all. Maybe it's not about Sefer Torah. Moses says, who told you that Amita Shal Torah means Sefer Torah? We have a way to say Sefer Torah. And that way is Sefer. So Amita Shal Torah, Tosis says, logical inference, that must be something other than a Sefer Torah. What else other than a Sefer Torah can we refer to as the truth of Torah? What else could it be? So maybe it could be Tar Shal Peh. On the other hand, Tar Shal Peh doesn't require Sirtan. This is clearly something written. But maybe it's not a whole Sefer Torah. Maybe it's... Sorry? Nevi'im, okay. Or maybe even Torah, the core truth of Torah, maybe it's a part of Torah, a specific part of Torah that's hard to say, not more true than the rest of Torah. All of Torah is true. But maybe it's a more central truth. Maybe it's Eretz Dibros, or maybe... Last Ape Sukkim. Is there something that... But we don't, we're not familiar with a din to write the Aseret HaDibros on klaf. But I am familiar with the din to write what on klaf? Tefillin, mezuzahs. Tefillin, mezuzahs. Shema, right? That's a mezuzah. That's a Shema Vayim Shema. Yeah, you take a look. You have on the first side of the page, I gave you the top of Megillah Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Are there any extra copies? You could pass me one. That'd be fantastic. Oh.
Here's some.
Thank you so much. Okay. Yeah, I should take a look at this Gemara here. Gemara Daflam Alamadez on the days here at the top of the days talks about, does mezuzah require sirtur? Does tefillin require sirtur? And around the 12-15 lines down, the line that begins with the Mehilchasan and the word tefillin with a little letter aleph, it tells you how to pass it. Where to look it up in the Rishonim who record things about halacha. The Hilchasa. Tefillin lo by Yisirtut. Mezuzah by Yisirtut. Bottom line of the sugya, when you a sofer is writing tefillin, he does not have to be mesartate the cloth in advance for tefillin. When he's writing a mezuzah, he does. So Tosfos says, hold on, let's unpack a little more, and then I'd love to hear your question. Tosfos says, what does Amita Shel Torah mean? It doesn't mean Sefer Torah. It means mezuzah. Mezuzah. Why is mezuzah called Amita Shel Torah? All of Torah is true. But as Tosfos says, but those are the core central truths of Torah. As Tosfos says right over here on the sideline base on base, lo, that started with the third narrow line. Lokamo Shapir Sham Bekuntres. Not like Rashi said over there in Megillah, Demar B'Sefer Torah Mamish. No. What does Rebbe Tam say? I would interpret Tezayin differently. Amita Shal Torah means Mezuzah Ka'amar. Shehi Amita Shal Torah. I mean, it's the truth of Torah. Meaning, Sheishba Malchus Shamayim. It has the central truths of Torah. The core Ikari Amunu, the core foundational principles that all of Torah is based on appear in Shema Vayim Shamala. Belief in one God who created the entire universe, that he's interested in having a relationship with us and wants us to have a relationship with him. Perhaps the Shem Lekecha. And that's not only emotional, but that has plenty of practical implications. There are practical mitzvahs that flow from that, several of which we name in the first parasha. Vayim Shamala talks about mitzvahs as a whole. Vayim Shamala also talks about the fact that there's schar v'yonesh, that there are consequences to our bechir chavshas. It talks about Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot going on. Those are core principles of Torah. So the Tosfos says, Amita Shel Torah, so in terms of this problem, how do you deal with Tazayin versus your test? The Teretz number one, Tosfos. The answer is, this Gemara is talking about mezuzah. This Gemara is talking about Sefer Torah. Aha! So now, hunky dory, everything's great. Because, one second. We had two kashas. One was the din isn't the same, and the other one was the terminology isn't the same. In terms of the din isn't the same, well, let's go backwards. The terminology is different because the Torah is different things. Sefer means Sefer Torah. MS doesn't mean Sefer Torah, it means Megillah, it means Mezuzah. So Daf Yutes is talking about to what extent is Sefer Torah like, is Megillah like a Sefer Torah? Tazayin is talking about to what extent is Megillah like a Mezuzah. And that's why this also then resolves the other kasha also. Bottom line, is it sort of like or fully like? Well, it depends. It's sort of like a Sefer Torah. It's fully like a Mezuzah.
Not
good. Now, 1 second. We don't talk about Tfir B'Torah, Tfir B'Gidin. So about stitching. We only talk about Sefer Torah, not Mezuzah, for the obvious reason that Mezuzah isn't stitched. Right? Megillah needs to be stitched. Sefer Torah needs to be stitched. Okay, but it's only sort of like a Sefer Torah, so I don't need to stitch it quite the same way. When you talk about Sirtuv, why are we looking at Mezuzah, according to Tosis, and not Sefer Torah? Because you'll notice that I mentioned before, the Gemara there says, Mezuzah needs Sirtuv, Tefillin don't. What the Gemara never comments on explicitly is Sefer Torah. So Tosas actually thinks, Lahalacha, here's an interesting Nakamim Lahalacha, Tosas thinks Sefer Torah, Eino Tzarech, Sirtuv. Tosas thinks Sefer Torah actually doesn't need Sirtuv. Rashi clearly holds it does. And not only does Sefer Torah need Sirtuv, but even Megillah needs Sirtuv. But Tosas actually says no. Sefer Torah Taka does need Sirtuv. What requires Sirtuv? Mezuzah, the Gemara said, and Megillah. Interesting pair of things. Kamita Shel Torah. Just like Mezuzah requires Sirtuv, that core description, that core statement of the principles of Yadus, so too Megillah is like Sefer Torah. If you would stop right here, we would already say, wow, that's hashkafically fascinating. That we're comparing Megillah to Mezuzah. That just like Mezuzah, which is Dafka, a focus on the core Yesodos of Judaism, requires Sirtut, Megillah is also a focus on the core Yesodos of Judaism. That's already a sort of fascinating idea, to think of Megillah as a, and it is in many ways, a core restatement in a narrative form, but a core restatement of how we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us invisibly in everyday life.
Why doesn't
Tefillin need it? Let's take a bunch of questions. Yeah. Actually, you were waiting for a while. Yeah.
Why doesn't Tefillin need it?
Tefillin do not. The Gemara says, Halacha Moshe Mishina. Halacha Moshe Mishina. Tefillin don't.
Mezuzah does. Also, Megillah is not such like a Mezuzah even.
Megillah is not like a Mezuzah.
Saying the halachos of writing a Megillah is that you can write it in any order you want.
That is true. There's no need for Kesidra. That is right.
Mezuzah, you need Kesidra.
That's a good point. That is a good point. That way we do not equate. That's a good point. Yeah.
I could be remembering this wrong, but I believe that in regards to Megillah Tota, it needs to because you learn it from the word Sefer. It calls it a Sefer.
Yeah.
So if you're saying that Sefer tells you that you need Sir too, first of all, why would Sefer Torah not need Sirtu, and second of all, wouldn't Sefer over here teach you Sirtu?
Okay, good. So that's going to be one of the problems, I believe, with Tosas, and one of the reasons why we might look to defend Rashi. Rashi, you're right, from a Sota perspective, Rashi seems simpler, and yet Rashi seems, looking at the evidence here, very problematic. Again, MS versus Sefer, two different words that seem to mean the same thing, Sefer Torah, and is it full like a Sefer, not full like a Sefer Torah? So let's go around the room and take some more questions, and then we'll see how the Brisker Rav seeks to resolve Rashi. Yeah, Michael.
So regarding standing for our Sarah Zadiru, so like the Rama was really against it, he said, and the Rama also, I said that if anyone are sure that standing for our Sarah Zadiru was
right. You make it seem, like a Sarah Zadiru was something more important.
Right, so in terms of like singling out any part of the Torah,
That's interesting.
We're not singling
that. Interesting question. Right. Are we singling that? Now, the truth, on the other hand, that's an interesting point you make. And actually, we'll see. It is interesting that we'll see that the Rambam disagrees with Tosas. And actually, the Brisker Rav is going to use the Rambam to defend Rashi. But on the other hand, there are certainly parts of Torah that the Torah itself singles out in various contexts. For instance, you don't write the whole Sefer Torah on your door. You only put those two parshas in Melizah. You only have the four parshas in Tefillah. So the Rambam certainly freely agrees that we do, halach itself will sometimes single out, but to expand that beyond what the halacha expects can get dangerous. Right, I hear that, right. That terminology is definitely striking. Yes. But at the same time, the Rambam himself, the first section of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, which together is a compendium of all Torah Shel Peh, he starts with a section called Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, in which he focuses primarily on most of the 13 animamins, which he, by the way, we call them animamins or Ikari Hamunah, but the Rambam's terminology is Yisodei HaTorah or Yisodei HaDas. Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah means Halachas of Ikari Hamunah. So he certainly recognizes that there's a core set of beliefs within the full body of Torah mitzvahs. It certainly exists. It's just the Rambam's concern was people may exaggerate that and to the detriment of other areas of halacha. But there certainly is a notion of Yisodei HaTorah, Bikari Emunah. Rambam just worried that this practice people have developed to stand for Sarah Dibris, thank you. In the popular mind, was sort of creating a misconception, not just that this is very important, but that other things aren't. So that was a practical danger.
The Rambam means that.
But fundamentally, there certainly are specific. There are particular parts, subsets of Chumash that have unique status that other parts of Chumash don't have. That is certainly true. Yeah. What's your name?
Simcha.
Yeah.
So if we go like the Tosfot, that Sefer Torah doesn't seem to need tier two. Then that would kind of almost imply that Sirtut is not a practical halacha, but it's more, it has some sort of greater significance. So what exactly is the significance of Sirtut?
So I'm not, that's a good question, I'm not 100% sure. Let me see if I understand what you're saying. I think what you're driving at, and this is something that's going to be important at several levels, is that for Tosfos, Sirtut is not the default. For Tosfos, Sirtut is like this boutique item that's unique to Mezuzah. Mezuzah has a special halacha. Mezuzah gets sirtut. Sefer Torah doesn't get it. Tefillin doesn't get it. The default you're saying according to Tosfos is no sirtut. There's a special localized halacha Mar Sinai that mezuzah specific for a sirtut.
Right? Because you think sirtut,
then you wonder why.
You think it'd be more of like a practical thing, just like practically you want to make sure your lines are straight.
Right. That's a good point.
But clearly, it's not.
Right. It's not. It's not just a matter of practicality. Right.
Unless it's practically, it's very difficult without it.
Okay. I will add, you continue on to the towards the end of Tosis, Tom argues that even Sefer Torah requires at least a box. You got to create a box, a rectangle, so you fit all the ones in that. But what Mezuzah and Megillah, Tosis thinks, uniquely need is searching for every single one. So that may speak a little bit to your issue. I'm not a sofer, so I don't have a sense for practically how easy is it to write straight with merely a box. But you're right. It is. It seems like for Tosfos, it's right. Sirtut is more than just a matter of here's what I need. Correct. Yeah. Any other questions? Anyhow.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, is it possible Rashi's saying that both are Halacha Moshe Mesinai, or he's just saying Megillah?
Tosfos is saying that Mezuzah the Gemara says Halacha Moshe Mesinai.
No.
Oh, Megillah, I don't think it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Megillah is not Din Dorais at all, but in this pasuk in the Megillah was Machadesh, that when Mordechai and Esther and the Sanhedrin at the time were masaking the concept of Megillah's Esther, and they canonized into the Kitzvei HaKodesh, they were masaking at the time that you ought to write it in a manner similar to a mezuzah. Why did they choose to do that? Again, perhaps because to heighten the fact that like Megillah, like mezuzah rather, Megillah is a statement of core beliefs. Maybe. Maybe going back to your point, right, it sounds like for Tosfos, Sirtut really is meant to give special significance, so it's meant to highlight this is a theologically central text. This is Amita Shel Torah. This is, we're dealing with the Ikari Emunah. Just like sometimes, you know, I'm sorry?
Literally.
Yeah, or overlying it, right. We're literally overlying it, that's a good point. as opposed to just being like lined paper. That's a good point. It's more like a bold or an underline. It's highlighted. This is special. Every once in a while, you'll see in Rashi, it's a medieval convention, that you know, sometimes you have words in Rashi that have the chupchiks, that have the quotation marks in it. So let's say the Laz words have the chupchiks. Well, it's not a Rashi Tevis. Why is that when he uses old French, he puts in the chupchiks? So every once in a while, every once in a 50, 100 blot, there'll be a sentence in Rashi that all of it gets the chupchiks. It's a Hebrew sentence. And why is every word getting chupchiks? They're not Rashi Tevis. So the answer is, those sentences usually are an editorial line that was added by a Talmud and Rashi, like a girsa footnote. The chupchiks are just like we said, Akan Lashon is equivalent to quotation marks. The chupchiks are equivalent of italics, I think. So when he gives you a foreign language word, a Laz word, he gives the chupchiks. And when there's like an editorial note by a later Rishon just commenting, oh, I am missing this piece of Rashi, there'll be chupchik to indicate the sort of like italicize it. So here also, right, the sirtut is like sort of highlighting that this is a different and unique. Maybe. Okay, let's come back. Another more question. Oh, yeah, you were waiting? Yeah.
Relatedly, if for like tefillin you did put in sirtut, does that hustle the tefillin?
I don't know. That's a great question. I'm not sure. I don't think so, but well, we need to. I freely admit my lack of bakiyas in the film. Gotta take a look. I suspect that it does not puzzle. I don't think so. It's a puzzle. It's just unnecessary. Now let's come back with that. I think everyone had a question. Had a chance to at least ask a question at least once. Now let's come back to the Briskerov. He ends this paragraph with a kash and Rashi, right? Tosis. It's not the Briskerov. It's not Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Did they just point you at this point to look in Tosis and Menachos? Tosis and Menachos says Rashi is very shver. Rashi, we thought the Gemara is shver, but it's really Rashi shver because Rashi is the one who had said that this Gemara is Torah Sefer Torah. Tosis says the answer is it's Torah Mezuzah. That's one solution to the tension to the Gemaras. In fact, Amit Shal Torah means Mezuzah. Rashi did not say that. Rashi did say clearly in Daf Tezayin that it means Sefer Torah. And he said, the Gemara in Menachos said, Mezuzah al-Chavoshri, right? Rashi says clearly in Tezayin, Sirtah Sefer Torah is also al-Chavoshri. So what's going on? So the Briskerov says, the solution will lie in the Rambam. The solution to Rashi will lie in the Rambam. Before we even dive in, he starts right away, the Hine B'Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Tes Hilchos Megillah. The Hine, by the way, a lot of Achronim Shesvarim, particularly, not exclusively, particularly those influenced by Reb Chaim and Velvel, will often use the Hine also as a technical word to open a paragraph where if the previous paragraph ended with Akasha, the Betzarachian, and you want the beginning of the Torah, it says, well, in order to answer Akasha, I need to first look at a different sugya. I need to first look at a different Gemara. So that's what Vihine is used for. We end with the Tzarachian, Vihine, let me introduce and now a new source that we're going to look there and thereby come back from the, we'll find yourself there that brings back there. That's why Vihine, well, let's look at the Rambam. Why is he telling us to look at the Rambam? Why is the Rambam going to give us a solution to Rashi? So before we even look at the Rambam, who conveniently also appears copy and paste in the bottom of the first side of the Rambam Kamos, you see before even Hilchas Megillah v'Chanukah Perek Beis, I put here Hilchas Tefillin. Rambam has Tefillin, Mezuzah, Sefer Torah all in one section. The general rule, as Shecht likes to quote, I think from Professor Asaf, that you see a pattern in the way the Rambam constructed his Mishnah Torah, that he never has a section, a Hilchas, such and such, with less than three prakim. Anytime he has a topic with less than three prakim, he'll never have a section that's one or two prakim. So whenever there's something that's naturally just two prakim, he'll attach, combine it with something else. That's why Megillah and Chanukah are together. Each one's only two prakim. Together, it's four. Mezuzah is only two prakim. But Tefillin, Mezuzah, Sefer Torah, together are ten. A couple of examples of that. I wonder whether the Rambam is clear in many places that even his stylistic decisions were based on largely on the models in Chazal So I've wondered in the past, I can't prove it, whether even this stylistic decision not to have a section that's too small might be based on Gemara and Bava Basra. It was one of the first paragraph of Bava Basra. It says a footnote. The Gemara and Bava Basra, Yudal Tezvav, has a sugya of the canonization of the Sifrei Tanakh. Who wrote what in the Sifrei Tanakh and in what's included? So the Gemara there says that all Treyasar really is a compilation of 12 different Nevi'im who lived over the course in very many different places over the course of several centuries. Hosea, I believe, lived before Yeshayahu, while Chagas Chare Malach lived centuries later in the Bayit Sheni period. So how is it a coherence? Why is it one sefer? It should be a separate svarim. The Gemara says you're right. It really, in theory, should have been separate svarim. But I did Zutri Mirkasi. Many of the Atreus are very, very small. Zechariah is 14 prakim. But Chagai, I think, is a 2 or 3 prakim. Avadiah is 1. Avadiah is 1. A number of them are very small. So the Gemara says if you would have them all separate svarim, they might get lost. I don't think it means your copy would get lost. I mean, over time, Klal Yisrael might have lost. It'd be, as a safeguard against losing these svarim, Chazal or Masakim, when Ashkenaz Sadolah probably laid out what are the Kisvei HaKodesh, they said Ovadia is not a Sefer. There's nothing called Sefer Yonah. There's nothing called Sefer Tzvanya. There's Sefer Treyas. It only has Kedusha Sefer if all 12 are together, and that having them in larger units will keep things more stable. That may have been the model for the Rambam, I'm not sure. But either way, here Hilchus Tefillin, the first four Prakim Hilchus Tefillin, so for Bekitzer, it's Hilchus Tefillin Perek Aleph, but at that point, he's really talking about many dinim that are common to Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah. Here he says, take a look. Perek Aleph Achid Beis. Halacha Moshe Misinai. She'ein Kosvin Sefer Torah V'lo Mezuzah Ela B'Sirtut. Halacha Moshe Misinai, you must write both the Sefer Torah and a Mezuzah with Sirtut. However, Tefillin Ein Trichin Sirtut. Tefillin don't require Sirtut. Okay, there's lots to say about this Rambam. We'll come back to it. Probably not tonight, probably Wednesday night. There's lots to say about this Rambam. But for starters, there's several diukim you can make. But for starters, does he pass halacha l'maisa? Is the machlokas halacha l'maisa? Rashi Tosfos, to say Sefer Torah requires Sirtut. Where does the Rambam fall? Rashi. Okay, there are at least two diukim to make the Rambam, but not for now. So, Rambam is aligned with Rashi. Okay, we look at Rashi, we're not sure how Miyasha Tyson's cautious. Maybe let's look at the way the Rambam quotes what Rashi said, and maybe they'll give us some insight. So the Briskrov says, Inebi Rambam Perek Beis Milchus Megillah Lachatas. You can either read it from inside the Briskrov, in the second paragraph, or you can read from the digitized copy on the first page, Perek Beis Lachatas. Of Hilchas Megillah. Again, technically Hilchas Megillah of Hanukkah, but Lamaisa, the first two Prakim Megillah, last two Prakim Hanukkah. Let's see a little bit more, and then we'll wrap things up for next time. Ein Kosvin is HaMegillah Ela Bidyo, Ela Gvila Ela Klaf. You can only write Megillah with Dio ink. You can only write it on proper parchment, two different types of parchment, Gvil or Klaf, Ke Sefer Torah. Right? Okay. Then, a line later, in Halachates, he writes, Utsricha sirtut ki Torah atzma. It needs sirtut like Torah itself. Okay, where do you get that from? Utsricha sirtut ki Torah atzma. What Gemara is he quoting? Taf Tezayin, right? Okay. And that's consistent. He's quoting, saying like Rashi ki Torah atzma, consistent with the fact that Hilchus Tefillin, he passes like Rashi Halach L'maisa, Sefer Torah requires sirtut. And then he goes on to say, Lach Yud Aleph, the ein is Theras Ella Begidin ke Sefer Torah. It has to be stitched with Gidin like a Sefer Torah. What Gemara is he going at that point? Daf Yutes. To Ayin Kaflamet Akal Shono end quotes. So how he says the Briskerov, well, Hanukapirish Rashi, that's like Rashi. The Din Sirtut Shemagila Yalf me Sefer Torah Velom Mezuzah. We're not learning Sirtut from Mezuzah, like Tosa said, we're learning Sirtut from Sefer Torah. Like Rashi said. Why does he say that? As he said, okay, she saw so. Raman Lishitas, a Shep Pasak Leel. Here we go. Paragal, Hilchas Tefillin Lachid Beis. Sirtut Shel Sefer Torah, Lachamash Visinai. Oh, okay. So far, so good. Everything's very simple. But then you begin to read more carefully. And we only have a couple of moments left. So we'll leave it with a cliffhanger. Let's read just a few more lines of the Brisker Up. And even more, let me push it on you. Look at the way the how many times over the course of what the chunk of Hilchos Megillah that he quoted, which you see is a two pieces of Halacha Tes and one piece of Halacha Yud Aleph. How many times did the Rambam say this is like a Sefer Torah?
Three.
Three. In what context? For ink and parchment, right? And then sirtut, right? And as you said, the binding, the gidin, right? Do you notice anything interesting about the way he equates them?
First time,
one is just kesefer Torah, and all the ones atzma.
Oh, kesefer Torah, ketorah atzma, and once again kesefer Torah. The parchment and ink, kesefer Torah. At the end, stitching with gidin, kesefer Torah. But sirtut is like Torah itself. Sounds very poetic, but that's basically the same thing. And looking at the board, do you notice any interesting patterns?
Yeah, it says the MS.
Oh, when dinim that we learn from Sefer are Sefer Torah. But what we learn from MS is Ketorah Atzma. So it sounds like we're at the verge of breaking this wide open. At the verge of breaking wide open, it sounds like as you were, some of you were intuiting before, even the answer is going to be along the contours of the answer. Teres number two will be the Rambam and therefore also Rashi, presumably, will be even if they're both Sefer Torah, but they're not both the same. There's Sefer Torah aspect number one and there's Sefer Torah aspect number two. There must be the classic Bisker Sprach, there must be Tzvei Dinim and a Sefer Torah. There must be two different aspects of Sefer Torah. One is the Gemara sees in the term Sefer, and the Rambam uses Kis Sefer Torah. While the other one, the Gemara sees in Emes, the Rambam uses Kit Torah Atzma. And apparently, that if we plug that back in, maybe that can solve all of our problems. Of course, if we were to stop now, that would be stereotypical bad pseudo-brisker Torah. You say, well, it's faith demon, therefore everything's good. That doesn't solve anything. You need to explain to me what are the two different aspects of a Sefer Torah and why. Why is the chiluk mistaber? Why is the difference matter? Why is it identify what's one din of a Sefer Torah and why Tfir begins relevant dafka to that? What's the other aspect of a Sefer Torah and why is sirtut relevant off that? These all seem like just the technical aspects of how to get into the Megillah workshop. How do you scratch the parchment? What type of parchment do you use? What do you stitch with? This all sounds like the same technical details. We're already beginning to see that there's something far more fundamental that's peeking out between the cracks here. We're going to see, hopefully as promised, next time. We continue, hopefully, complete the Brisker Rav next time. And we'll see, as promised, that and we're really beginning to see that we began by diving in to what seemed like very, very technical questions about a very, very, very technical corner of Maseches Megillah. We've already seen that in pressing on that, in digging, drilling down a little bit, we're already starting to say, whoa, two aspects of the Sefer Torah, something big is going on here. And we're going to see two aspects of the Torah and how they relate back to Megillah. And why is the Megillah fully like one aspect of Sefer Torah, but only half like the other aspect of Sefer Torah? We need to put a lot of flesh on the bones. We're really getting the sense that we'll be learning some, we'll be coming across some fundamental ideas about Sefer Torah, and maybe we'll come across some very fundamental ideas about Megillah, in terms of we already saw something about Hilchos Megillah, maybe in terms of the halachic lamdas of Megillah, maybe also something about the history and the hashkafa of Megillah and Purim as well. So we with Mircham continue in 2 nights now. Rabbi Isai, Yashikai, if you have a place to keep these sheets, you can hold on to them. If not, I'm glad to collect them. Whatever is easier for you, I'm sticking them in your Gemara Megillah, because I'm going to collect them, I'll get them back. It's all good.
Maybe it's that the sheet does have more.